I don't know if you caught, there's an article in on the news this past week about a woman who's 25 living in Tennessee, and apparently she had some marital problems. It doesn't go into any of the issues that's going on with her marriage, but you just sort of assume it because in the news article it mentions that she had a boyfriend on the side. And so not only did she just have a boyfriend and was there this deception between her husband and her, and her boyfriend didn't even know that she had a husband. So not only was there that deception, but when she first met this guy, she told him that she was a very rich and wealthy woman, that she had a high-paying job, and really she didn't have that much money. So there was this deception about the other relationships, and then there's this deception with this boyfriend about how rich she was. And so that sort of got her into some trouble because, well, if you don't make a lot of money and you say you do, someone's going to find out. So she decided that she's going to start robbing stores and people in order to come up with the money so that she could continue fooling her boyfriend. She ends up stealing about tens of thousands of dollars. And finally she gets caught. And her whole facade, everything she's been lying about, all her deceit, everything came tumbling down upon her and she was found out. And everyone was in shock. Now, marriage by itself causes enough problems. I mean, there are things in marriage that you have to work through, right? There's enough things that just come in naturally when two people live together. You don't need to throw more problems onto that than what naturally come. But when the moment this woman took another guy and started dating someone else without her husband knowing, she added more problems upon her life. Now she has to deceive and lie to her husband. She has to lie to this guy, which is kind of troubling to remember all these lies if you ever try to lie. But not only did it stop there, but she brought more trouble upon herself by lying to this guy about how much money she makes. She had to keep up that deceit. And then she brought more trouble upon herself when she started stealing because now the law was after her. So this woman, yeah, she has some issues in marriage, but she brought, through her action, more trouble and more pain upon herself than what she was supposed to bear. She brought more troubles, more anxiety, more aggravation within her and turmoil than what was natural in life. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. We're reading the story, if we remember what this guy represents, we're talking about Herod again. We won't forget him in the nativity scene. In Matthew chapter 2, the story begins. Verse 1, after Jesus was born at Bethlehem in Judea, during the times of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When the King Herod heard of this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is this Christ? Where is he to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets wrote. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel." Then King Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, and I too may go and worship him." Well, after they heard the king, they went up on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country another route. Now when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up! Wake up, Joseph! Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search and kill his child." So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled that the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I'll call my son." And when Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years of old and under, in accordance with the time he learned from the Magi. I'm sure being a king has its own stresses and its own problems. I'm sure there's its own troubles that comes from trying to manage a nation of people. And you don't need more troubles than what will basically come. You don't want to do things that bring more problems into your life than what you already have. But like this woman that I told you about the story earlier, Herod, through his actions, brings more trouble into his life than what he needed to deal with. Herod, through his actions or what he chooses to do or not to do, brings more trouble and anxiety in his life. It says here that when Herod heard about the child, this baby, this Messiah, he was troubled. It talks about an inner turmoil inside, that there's this anxiety, there's this strife, there's this agitation, that there's just something's not right. There's this worry and concern. I'm sure there's a sense we can all relate. You know, last week we talked about how Herod was a man who loved his power, who loved his control. And this baby that the prophets prophesied that somehow God has ordained is now threatening his kingship, his lordship. Now Herod knew. He heard about the prophets. He knew that there's something divine going on here. And all he had to do is to surrender himself to this child, to God. To say, I give this child, I give God my power and authority. But by not submitting to God, by not submitting to the Word and this child, this baby that is going to be Messiah, he brought more trouble upon his life than he should have had. The reason Herod is troubled, the reason why he has anxiety and has this strife, this agitation in his life, is because of his unwillingness to submit. Now this is something we see throughout Scripture. That when we don't submit to God, we bring more trouble upon ourselves than what is natural in life. I mean, we see this in Romans, I think 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin being disobedience to God, right? Not treating him as Lord and following completely, the wages of sin is death. That's more trouble than we should deal with. The story of Adam and Eve. Through their disobedience, they brought death into the world. They had their own curses they had to deal with, and we do too. The pregnant, you know, pain during childbearing, unless you have an epidural, working the ground, you know. Through their disobedience, they have more trouble than they had. We as a human race have more trouble than we should have to deal with. The story of Judas, right? Who didn't treat Jesus as Lord and betrayed him? And it says in Matthew 28 that he grieved it after he realized what he did. And his grief so big that he had that he killed himself. That's grief that he shouldn't have to deal with. But because he didn't submit himself to God, he brought this trouble, this grief upon himself. This is a natural thing. When I was in high school, my parents, I was at the age where they said, Jacob, we don't want you to date. They're like, Jacob, you don't date until you go to college. That's what they said. And so, I didn't like, as you imagine, in high school, I didn't like that idea. I wanted to date. You know, I liked girls. Like, what do you know? I can't date anybody. And so, there's this, in youth group, there's this girl, do I like her? Yeah, sort of. But when you're in your youth, you'll date anyone almost sometimes. And so, I think she asked me out. And so, I said, "Yeah, sure, let's date." You know, I defied my parents. I was disobedient to them. This is great. I just won't tell my parents. Well, of course, we don't see each other until every Wednesday and Sunday. But somehow, 2 weeks later, my parents found out, and they called me into their room one night. They said, "Jacob, is it true you're dating this girl?" And I'm like, oh no, I'm caught. And you know how when you're a kid, you know you did something wrong, and you're just like, oh no, what are my parents going to do? And there's this, your heart is just like aching, oh no. And they're like, Jacob, you're going to have to break up with her. And I'm like, oh, how embarrassing is this going to be? I'm going to go up to her and say, I can't date you because my parents won't let me. I'm like, I can't do this. And I remember, so I was like, that was like a Sunday night. And so for 3 days, I was sitting there, anxiety, worrying, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Maybe I can lie and pretend I broke up with her or not, or how am I going to tell her? And for 3 days, it killed me. And so finally, I just went up to her and said, I don't want to date you anymore. I lied to her and I walked away. And of course, now she's angry at me. Her friends hated me. I brought all this trouble upon myself, right? All this anxiety, all this pain, because I wasn't obedient to my parents. Now, if I would have listened, now to be honest with you, smart size, she's probably a girl that I probably should have never dated in the first place. I look back in reflection, she probably wasn't the best ethical person. But I look back to my choices and I realize through my disobedience to my parents, I brought so much trouble into my life that I should have never had to deal with. And that's how it is with God and with Him. I mean, we see this in big things, like with greed, our greed. We have people like Martha Stewart who does insider's trading. And you know what? Because of her disobedience to the law, I know she pleads she's not guilty, but through her disobedience, I mean, she has to spend time in jail. Right? She brought more trouble upon herself than she'd have to deal with. Our people like Enron who are trying to make a little bit more money for themselves and trying to make things a little bit better, so they cheat and they steal, and it ends up I think one of them committed suicide or one's going to jail. And I mean, you bring more trouble upon yourself or not. But let me make this a point. As a church, even for us who worship God as our Lord and Savior, there are times when we lapse, when all our choices don't reflect that Jesus is the Lord. And even in those moments, we bring trouble upon ourselves. Like there's those moments when we as a church can become legalistic, right? Instead of following the heart of what God's saying, we just focus on the structure and say, you got to do it this way. Oh, that person does that. Shun them. And we can be legalistic like the Pharisees. But what happens is when we don't obey God and we don't follow His heart, what happens is, well, we bring more pain upon ourselves. Why? Because we hurt other people. We cause a fracture in the church. By being legalistic like that, we shun God away. We push Him away. And our relationship with God becomes stagnant. And these problems begin to rise because of our legalism, relational issues. It happens sometimes as a church when you want control of things. You want things to go a certain way. Instead of trusting Jesus, our God, that He will work things out, and you spend time in prayer, when you try to do it, problems arise. First of all, you worry because you have to control all these different things and you plan and you scheme of how it's going to happen. And I know you know what I'm talking about because I'm sure you've experienced in different ways. And you worry about these different pieces, how it's going to work together, or maybe you could lie to, and how it's going to work out. And you have this anxiety and worries. And of course, when you try to control someone, people don't like that, and that causes relational problems. And next thing you know, you have more problems than what you had to deal with, than what you need to deal with at first. It happens with forgiveness. I mean, there are people who don't forgive and live with this day in and day out. They relive the situation. And some of us here are reliving situations from 20 years ago. Some of us are reliving situations that are older than I am. Right? And we're still suffering from those because we haven't moved on and we haven't forgiven. We haven't followed Christ's teachings and made Him Lord by following His teachings of forgiving people. And so we're still living with what happened, and we're still wrestling with it. We're still bringing trouble upon ourselves when it should be long gone. Our jealousy, what someone has that we don't have, whether it's wealth or money or good times. I mean, a great story, Shakespeare, Othello, great story of jealousy, how that comes around. If you've ever read the script or seen a movie, jealousy comes, maybe not, you guys, but high school, I know it was a long time ago. When we're disobedient to God, we bring more trouble upon ourselves. Or have you ever had a call of God? Like God has called you to something. Whether it's a big thing or He's called you to something right here and right now. And when you're not obedient, it brings us remorse. You know you should have done it. You know you should have acted. And you always wonder, what would have happened if I did it right? And there brings us pain. When we're not obedient to God, when we don't treat Him as Lord in everything, we bring more trouble upon ourselves than what we have to deal with, than what we should deal with. But the thing is, it just doesn't affect us. It affects other people as well. Right? Because of Herod's sin, because of his unwillingness to submit to Jesus, he comes in and his sin affects the wise men, right? He lies to them. He tries to manipulate and use them, right? Deceive them. No one should be used. No one should be devalued like that. Lied to and manipulated. There's a whole city, town of Bethlehem. The whole town is grieving because he goes and kills every kid that's under 2 years old. Because of Herod's unwillingness to submit, he brings trouble upon other people. Now don't tell me, like, the alcoholic, how that person affects the whole family, even the friends. The drug addict, how that brings trouble upon the whole family and friends. Someone who hasn't forgiven and you, and there's, don't tell me how that person that becomes bottled up in anger, how that doesn't affect the other, the family and the people around you. When one person doesn't submit to God, they also bring trouble upon other people. Pain, turmoil, agitation. When past Monday, this Monday, Jessica, she gave birth 2:57 in the morning. Gave birth to our daughter. Apparently, I found out last week that Don and Johnny were trying to get the name out of Jonah, asking Jonah, "What's your baby sister's name?" And that kid, he did not tell them. You gotta watch out for those two there. So 2:57 gave birth. Her name, Rachel Bailey Jean Gerardo. Bailey's my mom's name. Jeannie's Jessica's mom. And 8 pounds, 2 ounces, get that over. 19 and a half inches long. It's all there. Okay, you guys know that. After Jessica gives birth, there's she stayed there Monday and Tuesday. And you know what it's like in the hospital after you give birth. It's like you're a queen, right? People get you what you want. You want food. You want more food. They call it up. People are coming worrying about you, making sure your blood, your pressure's okay, and they take care of you. You have a TV, you have cable. I'm like, oh, cable, yes, Lakers are playing tonight, you know. So everything's taken care of. Yeah, they come in a little bit too often, but everything you want, they take care of you. And so when Tuesday morning came, my wife and I were discussing about when we want to get discharged. And she's like, you know what, I really like the carefree nature it is here. I don't have to worry about anything. And so she was thinking about spending another day there, but ultimately we decided, well, let's just go home. You know, I don't like them waking up me up every 15 minutes or something. And that was a tough choice for her, because she wanted to stay there, because everyone looks out after you, right? Everyone takes care of you. They worry for you. You don't have to worry at all. And she was worried, of course, that when we go home, her dad and me wouldn't take care of her as good as the nurses. I don't know why she would think that. Anyways, poor Jessica. It's nice when you have that, right? When you have someone to look after you. Now you might be thinking, or people might be thinking, okay, well let's look at Herod, and let's look at, Herod has trouble. Yeah, he brings trouble upon himself. But look at Joseph. Look at Joseph and Mary. They have enough trouble in their life already. Why is it better to be a Christian than someone who doesn't obey God? What's better or not better? Come on. They have to run from Herod. They're trying to save their own lives. Does it really make a difference? I don't know if you're paying attention to the lighting of the candle, but they mentioned the shepherds today. And during the time when the shepherds came and the angels appeared to the shepherds, a whole host began to sing something. You remember what they sang? They sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. Peace to the people who God finds favor in. Peace to the people who are obedient in a sense to God." You see, Herod is struggling with these troubles. But Joseph and Mary, they have someone looking after them. They don't have to worry about. God in his sovereignty sends some wise men from a far off country to bring Joseph and Mary gifts, wealth, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God through another nation, brings men to basically supply the wealth they need to travel to Egypt and to live off of. That maybe without this wealth, they wouldn't have the money to go make that trip. God takes care of their needs. God, the night, comes to Joseph in a dream and says, you know what, it's time to go. Herod's after you. And they get up and leave. Joseph and Mary, yeah, they have troubles, but they have a peace about them because they don't have to worry about it. God supplies their wealth, the money they need for the traveling. God supplies the angels to warn them. They can sit there and worry about things, but why bother when God is there always checking up on them, always making sure that they're taken care of? Herod has no one to take care of him. He's troubled and there's no one to look after him. It's only what he can do on his own. And that's always limited as human beings. But Mary and Joseph, yeah, they have troubles. But they have God's provision. They have God's sovereignty. Why worry? You see, when you're in living in God's favor, when you submit to God and He is Lord, when you bow at His feet constantly, what do you have to worry about? Does He not make some outrageous promises to you about providing food and clothing if you seek Him first? What do you have to worry about? If there are things you're worrying about, if there are things you're troubled with, you need to ask yourself, am I truly submitted to God? Are these troubles that I've brought in by myself? Are these troubles and worrying I'm bringing upon because I want to be too controlling? Or because I'm jealous or I'm forgiving? You need to ask that question. When we submit to Christ in everything, we submit, treat Him Lord by following every word He tells us, we will find a peace in our life. A who needs to worry sort of peace. Are you submitting to Christ? Are you bowing low and worshiping Him as Lord and Savior? Are you submitted to Him completely with everything? Is He your Lord?